Welcome to Gospel Tangents. I'm Thomas Waymont.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. There are lots of stories about the childhood of Jesus, but they are not in the Bible. In our next conversation with New Testament scholar Dr. Thomas Waymont, we'll talk about some of these apocryphal stories. Were they ever considered canonical? We'll also get into some other New Testament reasons why certain books were canonized. Check out our conversation. Since you brought up Joseph, I read, and I want to say it's the Infancy Gospel of Christ, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the expert, not me, but I believe that that was the story where Joseph was an old man, and Mary was a teenager, and...
Infancy Gospel of James,
yeah, oh, is that what it is? Okay. Yeah. So there was a really unusual story in there about a bird.
Yeah, right.
Can you tell that story?
Well, I think the one, are you looking where he plays Knucklebones and his friends die? Or are you looking at, which one are you thinking?
Oh, there was a bird that landed on his head, I thought.
Okay, that one I'm not remembering off the top of my head.
Oh.
There's all kinds of these terrible baby stories in there. So there's quite a few. This is a trope.
So let me back up a little bit.
Yeah.
So Mary was this teenager, probably 14 or so, and supposedly she needed to get married. And so they were trying to decide who to marry her off to, and there was a lineup of a bunch of guys. And
oh,
who
the
are they?
The
and then the bird landed on Joseph's head, and so they took that as a sign that Joseph should be the one to wed Mary.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay. And so no, I do broadly remember the story. I was thinking that you were referring to what the modern reader is always confronted by. Jesus is a really terrible child.
Oh, there's that story too.
Yeah, and he loses a game, so he smites his friend who beats him in the game. And then they go get their local leaders, and they come out and say, well, you got to punish this kid. And as they get ready to punish him, Jesus raises the kid from the dead.
I've heard that story,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and then they say, where is the evidence of this? And it's really weird to a modern person how terrible Jesus could be as a child.
Well, and there's another story about a bunch of birds, or he made a bunch of mud birds or something.
Yeah, and gave life to them.
And then they flew away.
Yes, yes.
He's really a brat. Jesus is a brat in this story.
I would agree. I would use that term. And what's so fascinating is it's like he has this divine power, but he's a teenager using it, which is really kind of fun, but you wonder what it says about your view of Jesus. You know, could Jesus theoretically have smote someone who beat him in Knucklebones and said, you know, you beat me, I always win, and then They come to say, yeah, we're going to have to punish this kid. And then he says, well, I'm just going to raise him from the dead. that's a really different portrait of Jesus. But yeah, Infancy Gospel loves the... Also, returning to that story of choosing, in that same text, she's a pure virgin that's been kept in the temple, and she needs some guidance in this. So it is a very strongly legendary type text.
Yeah, and I believe it's in that same story, if I'm getting it right, wasn't supposedly Mary born of a virgin as well?
Yes, yes.
I mean, that sounded very Catholic when I read that, like this
was
a very Catholic story.
And you know, not to criticize any type of theological view, but the idea of why she can give birth the way she does happens because she is a pure vessel, a virgin born, and untouched, if you will, you know, not ever contaminated or something. And that strangely sexualizes the story a lot. The modern scholar, you know, like myself, is very interested in why sexual activity is contaminating and why that would make Jesus not born pure. And we don't think of a baby coming out as impure. And you even alluded earlier at a birth, this is new life, but they're trying to distance sexual activity from birth, and they're doing it now with Mary, and it's extending out that way. So, yeah, we don't place as much emphasis on virgin birth. That actually wouldn't be a win for us, you know. I think that's a fair way to say it.
Yeah. So, can you talk a little bit about some of these infancy gospels then? Can we take a lot of good spiritual gifts, or are they just interesting stories that have no real spiritual value?
To categorize them or valorize them is a little bit tricky, because they appear for the very first times about 150 years after Jesus passes away. And in that time, what we've had is we've had people writing letters about Christian affairs, like Paul and other people, Ignatius, etc. We've had people writing histories, and those are really responsible. And we start to see in the late 2nd century, 3rd century, the rise of martyrdom accounts, which are very legendary. These are really kind of mythology, Christian mythology. And during that period, contemporary to it, I like to think of it, and this is something I think works for me, but may not work for everyone. Christians want fiction. They want fiction about Jesus. They want fiction about the early period. And you'll start to see these highly legendary mythologies that I hope that Christians of that age would acknowledge, like we would, that really isn't the Jesus of history. That isn't the Jesus who was nailed to the cross. I think it satisfies pious literature, pious entertainment. And there are a number of scholars who see that same type of thing. Like, this is entertainment. This is something you can read on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon, and Jesus is still the subject, but he's hilariously the subject, if you will.
Would it be similar to in our day, sometimes you'll see a book, I think the Nephites wore tennis shoes or something like that.
Sure.
Would it be the similar sort of a thing where somebody said, well, I'm just going to make up this complete story about Jesus' birth or whatever?
Right.
And it was really, it was intended to be fiction the whole time.
I think so, and I think we miss sometimes that. I don't think the authors are being disrespectful, like in the modern era when we, you know, I know that there was this great church history volume, and I'm not trying to name the author, I'm trying not to name the author, but he did this church history fictional account with a family that comes west, and then that same author did one about Jesus's period, and I think they're being respectful. I think they're saying, I really respect this story, but I want to embed you in it, and I've never heard them say that, but that's my take. And I think the person who writes the infancy gospel of James or Thomas and one of these others is trying to engage it for a more fantastical experience. You know,
so kind of a historical fiction kind of a genre.
Yeah, we see it a lot with the Acts of the Apostles. We see these legendary acts. You know, Thomas goes to India and James goes to Spain and James ends up in all the way in England. And once in a while, somebody will kind of misuse that and say James was in Spain, James was in England, but this is fiction, and I think the ancients used it as such.
So there was never any discussion on whether to include the infancy gospel of Thomas or the infancy gospel of Jesus or any of those in the canon?
No. In fact, Christian authors differentiate their use of them. They don't tell these stories as though they're Jesus' birth stories. They'll sometimes say things like, you can read that in your church, but recognize what it is. We have that with the Gospel of Peter, for example. An early leader says, yeah, I think you can get some good things out of it, but recognize it's not of the other sort, meaning the canonical sort. And he doesn't use the word canonical, it's pre-canonical, but he does start to differentiate. There's this great repentance story that's hard to read for the modern person because it's boring. But it's a fascinating account. It's called The Shepherd of Hermas. And they read it for this personal conversion story. And it doesn't make it in the canon, but it's nearly there.
Was there discussion to include
with
it?
With that one, yes. The Epistle of Barnabas is one also that nearly made it into the canon. But you have what I would say 27 books were always canonical. And you have some books that are called near canonical or almost, and those are the ones that have sayings of Jesus. And there's debate, do these go in, are these his sayings? And you have these early things attached to apostles, like the letter of Barnabas and Hermas. And then you have the non-canonical, if you will, ones that were never considered, that were never debated, should we this make it into the canon? But they're all Christian. They're all part of that usage family where Christians are saying, I like those texts. I believe Matthew and I read Infancy Gospel of James.
Very interesting. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Tom Waymond. In our next conversation, Dr. Jeff Chadwick will tell us how the Book of Mormon helps us to date both the birth and death of Jesus Christ.
here's why it's lovely to be a Latter-day Saint. We only know that because of the Book of Mormon. Because Jesus has lived 33 full years in the space of the third Nephi story. Okay, and so we know he's lived 33 full years. I actually think he lives 33 years and a couple of months. Okay.
If you'd like a transcript of this conversation, we'll have it out shortly. I'd also like to thank you for those of you who are subscribing on Patreon.com. Please tell your friends. It's really helpful and will help support future documentaries and podcasts such as this. Also, make sure that you subscribe on our Facebook page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. You can get our Twitter updates at Gospel Tangents. You can also purchase a transcript of this at gospeltangents.com/shop. All of those proceeds will go to me and not to Amazon, so I really encourage you to do that. Also, make sure that you, if you'd like a written copy, go to our Amazon page. You can search for that. I've got a link here, but just do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview, and you should be able to find it there. Make sure that you subscribe on our Apple Podcast page. I've got a link here, but you can just do a search for Gospel Tangents there. If you'd like to get a transcript, click here. To subscribe here on YouTube, go ahead and click here. And over here, you'll see some of our other videos. Thanks for listening, and we appreciate you listening to Gospel Tangents.